some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
It's Tuesday, September 6, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. We're looking at the storyline of the Bible, and today we get to the present kingdom. Let's review going all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning, there was nothing except God. And then he just spoke the word and made everything. You have creation, life, creatures, and then at the pinnacle of creation, you had man and woman made in God's image. But the Garden of Eden quickly becomes the location of the fall of man. Humankind degenerates for many generations. God judges the world with a flood, but he spares one righteous man, Noah and his family. Then humankind rebels at the Tower of Babel, and the result is division and dispersion. But then there's a new beginning. God's faithfulness is shown to Abraham and his family. Abraham's prosperity turns into Israel's slavery. Then you have the Exodus, where Moses leads Israel out of Egypt. Now, it's interesting here. God gives Israel the law, but then in Exodus 34, the Lord speaks to Moses and gives him a beautiful word that is quoted many times in Scripture, but it is the riddle of the Old Testament. It's found in Exodus 34, verse 6 through 7. It says this, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiven iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. So you have God saying he's going to forgive the guilty, but he's not going to forgive the guilty. That doesn't make sense. And so that's the riddle of the Old Testament, and we're going to see the answer to that in just a little bit. So keep that in the back of your mind. All right. From there, the people enter the promised land where they are ruled for a while by judges. Eventually, a kingdom is established, epitomized by King David and his son Solomon. Solomon builds a temple, home of the Ark of the Covenant, and center of the people's worship. After Solomon dies, the kingdom divides into Israel in the northern kingdom and Judah, the southern kingdom. Then idolatry grows. It spreads. It is ugly. Assyria destroys Israel in 722 BC. And then Babylon destroys Judah from 597 to 586 BC. But the survivors are taken to exile in Babylon for the next 70 years. A remnant returns to Jerusalem and rebuilds the temple, but Israel still longs for the glory it knew under David. Thus, the Old Testament becomes a story without an ending. Then we have 400 years of silence. 400 years of silence until that baby cries in a manger, and then everything changes. All right, this was a special baby. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. His name was Jesus, and he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. When he was around 30, he began his public ministry with the words, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near," Mark 1, verse 15. All right, now think about that. All those years, all those promises, all that waiting about the future king and establishing a future kingdom and people just believing that and trusting God and saying, God is a promise-keeping God. I'm trusting him. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, the wait is over. Now, you've waited for a long time. The wait is over. The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. All right, God's king had come to establish God's kingdom. His life, teaching, and miracles all proved that he was who he said he was, God himself in human form. He had the power to put everything right again. But he chose a very surprising way of doing it, by dying in weakness on a cross. All right, but you remember the riddle of the Old Testament, Exodus 34, 6 through 7, where it says that God is abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty? Now look at Romans 3:23 and following. It says, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Jesus solves the riddle of the Old Testament. Jesus took our sin, placed it on Himself, becoming the guilty party for us, so that the punishment for all those who would ever turn and trust in Him was paid by Jesus' death on the cross. So now, God, having extinguished His wrath upon the guilty, He still remains just by showing mercy, grace, love, and forgiveness to sinners. And it's all because of the cross. As John Stott says, "The justice and the mercy of God fuse upon the cross." It was by His death that Jesus dealt with the problem of sin and made it possible for human beings to come back into relationship with His Father. The resurrection proved the success of Jesus' rescue mission on the cross and announced that there is hope for our world. Those who trust in Christ can look forward to an eternal life with Him. Are you trusting in Christ? If not, do so. If so, treasure Him above all other things in life, and thereby make great His name in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily.
Just a few more weary days and then